what's up? Nothing. I couldn't sleep, so I'm just playing a game before bed. You want to join me? Alright, cool. Oh, I'm playing Super Meat Boy. It's like a 2D platformer. It came out a couple years ago. It's my favorite indie game. Basically, you play as this little red guy named Meat Boy. And the basic premise is that he has his girlfriend, who's the pink girl. Her name is Bandage Girl. And the bad guy, Dr. Fetus, kidnaps her. And you have to get her back. So pretty much she's at the end of every level. And to beat the level, you just have to make it to her. It's really fun. It controls super well. There's a lot of interesting mechanics. It gets super hard later on. And that's like kind of the point. It's kind of like a keep going, keep trying, keep getting killed until you do it sort of thing. But you get to retry, like, immediately after you die, and every death sort of, like, feels like it's your fault, just because it controls so well, like, it's not really that frustrating. Ah, shit. Well, there's my first death. Yeah, the game's sort of like, it's divided into these chapters, and the first chapter is not difficult. It's sort of just teaching you and getting you acclimated with, like, the controls and, like, your speed and your jumping and stuff, and there aren't really that many, like, complex mechanics in the first chapter here. A lot of the levels are really straightforward. There are there are alternate versions of every level. Because right now I'm playing in what is called the light world, and there's a dark world where there's a more difficult version of like every single level in the game. But I don't know. It's a pretty short game, so I'm just playing through the light world levels right now. And there we go. And at the end of every chapter, there's just a simple little boss fight. They're definitely not, like, the highlight of the game. It usually involves, like, running away from something. It's basically, like, another level just with, like, a big enemy. But yeah, the first one, Lil Slugger, has Dr. Fetus chasing you in this big machine, and you just have to make it to the end before he gets to you, and he crashes into the wall and he blows up. So they're nice, fun little challenges. They're definitely not the biggest, most fleshed out part of the game, but they're fun. Another really cool thing that I like about this game is that the main developer behind it, his name is Edmund McMillan, and a lot of his games are very expressive, and even though this game doesn't really have much in the way of a story, it still has, like, some interesting themes if you care to, like, look into it or analyze it a bit. But basically, from what I understand, Meat Boy, despite the fact that he does sort of look like just like a slab of meat, and that's sort of like the joke, He's actually not supposed to be a piece of meat. He's actually supposed to be, like, a skinless human being. So he's, like, a very vulnerable kind of character. Like, in all the levels, you die in, like, one hit. And there's a chapter later that, the main obstacle is, like, salt, which obviously is super painful to have on, like, an open wound and stuff. And the reason his girlfriend is Bandage Girl is because he makes him, or she makes him feel safe. So when the guy, Dr. Fetus, shows up and kidnaps her, it's sort of Meat Boy's task to enter that protective role in return. So it's like, they both have their weaknesses, but they cover for each other. Whereas Dr. Fetus, you know, as his name would imply, he's just a fetus. He's also a very, like, vulnerable character. He can't really function without the big mech suit that he wears. But he uses that in, like, all of his, like, gadgets and shit to sort of compensate for his own weakness. And he doesn't really understand that, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. You just need to surround yourself with loved ones that can be there for you when you're down, and can help you out when you need it. He just sort of relies on his augmentations to get by, which is why he doesn't like Meat Boy and wants to kidnap Bandage Girl, is because he doesn't feel that he sort of wants what Meat Boy has in a way, I guess. Like, someone who cares for him and someone who will help him with his vulnerability, but he doesn't really understand that, you know, you have to sort of earn that trust and that bond with someone. But yeah, some of that is just sort of my own thoughts about the game. Some of it is, like, confirmed stuff that the developers have said about it, but I think it's interesting. You know, it's simple enough, you know. It's not trying to be anything more than it really is. Because at the end of the day, the main draw of this game is the gameplay and the interesting levels and all the mechanics you interact with. But it's cool. It's fun. We're getting close to the end of Chapter 2 now. Ah, shit. I hate dying at the end of a level in this game. That's probably the closest that I get to, like, frustration with this game, is when you die right at the end. But even still, all the levels are short enough to where even that's not that big a deal. Alright, the second boss fight is this guy. His name is Chad, and I think the idea is he's supposed to be, like, a big blood clot, and he swims around at the bottom of the screen, and you sort of have to avoid him by going upwards, and you you have to get the keys to sort of unlock the way up. And then once you get to the end, you unlock the ceiling, and the sunlight comes through, and it sort of dries them up, and you beat them that way. Alright, so chapter 3 is the salt factory, which is the one where the main obstacle is, like, salt, you know, with the open wound and shit. And this is definitely where the difficulty starts to show its face, especially if it's your first time playing. I know I had an awful time trying to get through this stuff when I played this game for the first time. Now it's not really so bad until you get to the Dark World, at least for me, but I play this game a lot. Like, even still, I play this game a lot. So I sort of, you know, don't mean to brag or anything, but I sort of know what I'm doing for these parts. Yeah, I'm an asshole, whatever. Yeah, I didn't talk about it much in the last chapter because I was busy talking about the hashtag deep themes of this game, but now some of the more interesting mechanics are starting to come into play. Like, in the last one, there were keys that you used to unlock locks to get you through the levels. There were sort of, like, moving enemies that you have to avoid. And in this one, we get the conveyor belt, which, like, sort of change the way your momentum works. And they can, like, shoot you all over the place. Sometimes you'll have to run on them, like, in the opposite direction that they go, which adds an interesting sort of challenge. I actually don't believe there's too much new stuff in... Oh, okay. Yeah, the salt factory is where the missiles come into play. The missiles are definitely the first, like, really difficult obstacle to avoid, because they're kind of unpredictable. They shoot at you really fast, and they can home in on you. So they're kind of easy to manipulate, but, you know, you make one wrong move, and you could end up, like, jumping right into where a missile is firing at you. But they're really fun, like, obstacles to sort of master getting past. And it definitely incentivizes you to go through the levels quickly. And this game is really fun to sort of just let loose and go fast in. I don't know, I just really love the way that, like, your mechanics as the player, just sort of, you run and jump, and you can kind of stick to walls and jump off of walls and stuff. I love how those, like, simple mechanics interact with all of the other different mechanics that the levels have for you to avoid. They all just sort of work really well with the way that you can move in this game, and, I don't know, it just feels good. I never really realized how, like, few levels the missiles are actually in the Salt Factory. Because they don't really appear in that many levels besides the first couple of levels where they're introduced in. That's interesting. I never really noticed that before. Like, we've only really seen them a couple times, and we're already on the last level of Chapter 3. That was close. See what I mean about how you can sort of just screw yourself over and almost jump right into a missile? Well, that chapter's done. This next boss fight is cool because you're sort of racing against a character who has, like, all the same abilities as you. This guy's name is Brownie. And basically, he's a piece of poop that Dr. Fetus takes in front of you in the cutscene before the fight, which is an interesting idea. This game also has kind of, like, crude, dark humor, which is always fun. But yeah, it's cool because, like, he sort of moves perfectly and you sort of have to find, like, the optimal way to get through the level before him. Like I said, it's really fun to sort of, like, get super good at this game and be able to go fast. Alright, well, Chapter 4 is hell. Literally, we are literally in hell. And this is, I'd say this is where the game starts to get, like, super hard. Like, even the light world, I still have trouble with a few of these levels. And we're not going to see it for a while, but this is the part of the game where some of the more dangerous obstacles come into play. Some of the stuff that really wants to come after you. Yeah, sort of like a running theme of the chapters is the first few levels don't really usually introduce new mechanics. They're just sort of like more difficult platforming challenges than the levels before them. Which, like, even though they're more difficult, they're sort of getting you acclimated to the difficulty curve before they throw in, like, crazy shit at you. Like, we're already on level 7, and there's still not really anything new to deal with here. Just sort of jumping past the saw blades and stuff. Alright, here's one. So, like, these portals are set up in a way where you'll go in one and come out the other, which is simple enough to understand. And the mechanic itself isn't too interesting, but the way that they're placed sometimes can make for interesting scenarios. Because the way you jump into certain portals determines how you'll come out of the other one. So you sort of have to figure out, like how to maneuver through them. So yeah, it's pretty interesting in that regard. Alright, so here is the introduction of the eyeball lasers. And they just sort of rotate on their 360-degree axis, and they follow you around with their big, scary lasers. And it doesn't seem like that difficult of a thing to avoid, but a lot of the levels are designed in a way that they can corner you, and you won't be able to get out of their way in time. So again, it's another obstacle that is more, like, I guess, interactive with, like, the way that you move, rather than just being straight up, like, difficult to deal with. Except for this one. This one, I believe these things are called Helmo launchers, and they're just, like, these portals that shoot out these big demons at you, and once those things, like, crash into the wall, they, like, branch off, and even smaller, littler ones will shoot out at you. And these are definitely, I'd say these are the hardest things to deal with in the game. They can be pretty annoying at times. Ah, shit. I missed the platform. Okay. Yeah, this particular level where you have to sort of wait for the moving platform while dodging the helmet launchers always gave me a hard time. Okay, there we go. Yeah, Hell sort of takes a while to introduce you to the new mechanics of its chapter, but once it gets into it, it really throws them at you. That's what makes this one sort of stand out with the difficulty as compared to the previous three, I'd say. Okay, now this boss fight really sucks because you have to, like, remember what it does. It does the same moves every single time you fight it. And all you have to do is dodge them, but he doesn't really telegraph them in a way that you're gonna know what's coming. You just kind of have to know what he's gonna do and memorize his attack pattern, which is stupid. This is probably the worst part of the whole game, is this boss fight. Its concept is interesting. Like, all of the previous Meat Boys who died throughout your conquest sort of form into this one big giant Meat Boy that's trying to kill you. You know, it sort of fits into the Hell theme. But, if it was better executed, this would probably be a really interesting thing I'd be doing right now, but it's stupid. It's really stupid. Just kind of got to suffer through this one. Right, this is the last full-length chapter of the game, Rapture, and this one is sort of themed like the end of the world kind of deal. You're gonna be hopping along on a lot of, like, destroyed buildings and stuff. A lot of barren, desolate environments. And two of the new mechanics are, like, enemies that chase you around, and they're like mutated from the apocalypse or whatever. And yeah, these are cool levels. I've always liked these ones. I don't like these, like, gravity orbs that sort of push you in different directions. I could never quite figure out how they work. They're a little annoying to navigate. And they're definitely featured a lot in this chapter, so... I'm not as bad at them as I used to be, so they're a little more tolerable for me now. But there's a pretty steep learning curve for trying to deal with the gravity orbs. This chapter probably has one of my favorite mechanics in the game, though, which is the switches. Pretty much, you step on a button, it opens up, like, a gate, and you have until, like, the button, like, timer wears off to get to the gate, or else the gate will close. I like all the mechanics in this game that incentivize you to go fast. So I really like this one. That's kind of a long level there, and it sucks to die right at the end. God damn it. I died the exact same way. Okay, there we go. Alright. These things, these are like zombie meat boys. I guess they're sort of inspired by the Hell chapter, because they're like different versions of you that had died, over the course of your adventure. But now, instead of being, like, in hell, they're zombified in, like, the real world. And they chase you around, they jump when you jump, and they're super annoying to avoid, they're super annoying to, like, learn how they work. Because they're a little bit more unpredictable than you'd think. They don't always, like, react the way you'd think they would. Ah, damn it. This level has probably one of the strictest timers for the buttons in the whole game. There we go. Alright, and here's the other sort of enemy of this chapter. I think these are supposed to be flies, but they're, like, gigantic and mutated. And I really like these ones better than the zombies, because they sort of, like, inch closer to you, and, like, the longer you stay in their range of them, like, that they'll come towards you, the faster they go, and when one of them is chasing you down really fast, it can get really, really stressful and really hectic. And when there's a lot of them, That's a whole other beast. But yeah, they're pretty interesting to have to deal with. I'm really not doing that great at this level right now. I'd say this is definitely one of the easier ones that the flies are featured in. So, I don't know what's going on with me right now. Okay, there we go. That was a shitstorm. Okay. Another interesting thing about this chapter is I think it's the only chapter where a mechanic from one of the previous chapters comes back in this one, and for this chapter that would be the missiles from chapter 3. They come back in this one, and they're definitely even harder to deal with in this one, since this chapter is way more difficult than the one where they were introduced in, obviously. So yeah, they can be a bit of a pain in this one. Still a lot of fun, though. Last level of the Rapture. Okay. So the boss fight for this chapter is another one of my least favorites. Basically, you've got these three giant worms, and they, like, jump at you. And you gotta get them to jump into the saw blades on either side of the boss arena. But you can sort of just jump behind the saw blades so that you're completely safe from whatever they do. And you just kind of have to wait for them to kill themselves. So yeah, it's easy to exploit. Not the best part of the game. But okay, this is the last chapter. And the interesting thing about this chapter is there's only 5 levels. The levels are a bit longer than the standard for this game. And there's not really any, like, gimmicky mechanics specific to this chapter. It's kind of just like, okay, you made it this far. Clearly, you know how to play this game. We're just gonna put in, like, really difficult platforming challenges for you to deal with to just sort of test your skill at the absolute core mechanics of the game. And even though the design of these levels sort of looks really barren and empty, they're some of my favorite levels to play in the game. They're a lot more memorable too, like, just like, when you're thinking about, like, each chapter, you can remember all these levels because there's so few of them. And since the chapter's so short, we're already halfway there. Halfway there. Halfway there. Okay. Three out of five. Damn it. Yeah, like I was saying before, it's kind of frustrating to die, like, decently into a longer level, and this is probably the most frustrating chapter, and it's, like, because of that. There we go. A lot of people say that this last level here is the hardest light world level in the game. I tend to disagree. It's just super long, and every, like, part of it is, like, an asshole clencher. Like, every single part is like, oh shit, am I gonna make it? Okay. Am I gonna make it through this next part? Alright. But it's really not that difficult. I probably couldn't name them off the top of my head, but there's definitely a lot more difficult levels in the game. Maybe not a lot more, but a few more difficult light world levels in the game than this one. I say as I'm having ridiculous amounts of trouble with it and have already died 3 times. Alright. Almost there. There we go. And now we have the final confrontation with Dr. Fetus. This is definitely my favorite boss fight in the game. Because, like, the boss fights, like I said, are basically kind of just glorified regular levels, just with, like, an enemy chasing you around. This is definitely no exception, but it sort of does that. It takes that concept and does the best with it out of all of them, I think. So basically, Dr. Fetus sort of follows you and platforms with you through the level, and he shoots little mini missiles at you. And the space that you can move around in the level is limited because you're surrounded by saw blades that move at, like, a predetermined speed, so you can't really go faster than the saw blades are going. There is a way to cheat, which I have just done, so that you can get past the saw blades and just sort of go through the level at your leisure. But usually, you're being chased by Dr. Fetus and stuck in the saw blades the whole way through. And at the end, you have this big open room where you have to press a button that opens the floor at the right time. And Dr. Fetus just sort of falls down to his death. And since we beat the saw blade here, we're way ahead of him, so we just gotta kind of wait for him to step on the floor and inevitably fall to his doom. And it's not quite over yet, because we still have to save Bandage Girl. And in this level, you carry her, like, through the level backwards, on your back. It actually doesn't make Meat Boy feel like he controls any different. Like, he doesn't feel heavier, which is weird. I would have thought, like, with the emphasis on, like, how Meat Boy jumps and, like, his momentum and stuff, I figured they would have taken that into account when they did this level, but I guess not. It's probably for the better, though, because that probably would have been kind of annoying, but, yeah. Well, that's Super Meat Boy. Basically, the ending, you escape with Bandage Girl, you defeat Dr. Fetus, and it's all wrapped up in a nice tiny little bow. And then you can play the Dark World, but I'm not going to do that. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. But thanks for hanging out with me and watching me play through this game. It's one of my favorites.